good that we were able to come here this morning. I'm glad for all our visitors, and we come together to worship and study the Word of God and to worship God every day that we live. This morning we're going to look in the book of 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 5 in the Old Testament. And it's a very interesting story there that is given to us as God revealed it to us. There is a man in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Syria, was great and an honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel.'" Okay, we have the background of this. Naaman was a man of great courage. He was a man of valor. He was a man of high position. He was the captain of the guard, if you will, for the king of Syria. In other words, he was the commanding general of the entire Syrian army. He had had a great victory, and he had come back, but it says, but he was a leper. He was inflicted with a leprosy. It was an incurable disease, and he earnestly desired and he sought for a cure of it, like anyone would do in that kind of situation. But he looked in the wrong place. He looked with the wrong attitude. And we're going to look at that this morning. His actions, in a way, were kind of typical of people today. Excuse me, of those who seek salvation in a place that God has not authorized or God wanted. So we look at Naaman this morning in 2 Kings chapter 5. And Naaman went to, first of all, we read the first four verses there. Look at verse 5. 2 Kings 5. It says, "Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.'" Well, the problem was, as many people today, he offered the wrong price for his cleansing, for, as we would say today, for salvation. The king of Syria sent with Naaman. He was obviously a very good man, a man that the king of Syria had all confidence in. So he wanted him to be healed. And so he sent 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and clothing and everything else as a gift to the king of Israel. And he wrote the letter and said, "Okay, now here he is. Now you heal him of his leprosy." And that sounds like a lot of people today. Some people have the idea that money is the answer to all problems. That somehow, if you have enough of it, that all your problems are going to go away. Well, of course, if you understand, you realize that money can be good or it can be bad. If we have it and we use it for a good and righteous purpose, it's something that'd be very good. But if we have the wrong attitude toward it, no matter how much we have, it's not going to be good. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So Jesus says, how much you have doesn't make the difference, but how you deal with what you have. Whether we have a little bit or much in life, how the attitude we have towards money or riches, whatever it may be, that's the important thing before God. But salvation cannot be salvation cannot be bought by any human price. The price for our salvation has already been paid for us. And that's that price, as we talked about a moment ago when we partook of the Lord's Supper as the reading was done. The price was the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross. In fact, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says he purchased the church with his own blood. His price, the price that we have to endure for our salvation, is the blood that Jesus gave for us upon the cross. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, he says, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price." So we are bought with a price, the price of the blood that Jesus shed for you and me. Jesus shed that blood. In fact, in Hebrews 2 verse 9, it says he tasted of death for every man, for everyone. No one is left out of that. And not everyone's going to be saved, because many people, as the king of Syria offered the wrong remedy for the leprosy that Naaman had, many people want to have salvation in their own way or some other way, or change it to fit what they want instead of what God wants. But only obedient faith, and only through that can we obtain salvation. Well, what does that include? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says we are justified by faith. The word justified means we are forgiven and acquitted of the guilt of the sin that we commit. And we do that by the blood of Christ. And God does the justifying, not us. We never become justified on our own. We have to believe and obey the things the Lord has commanded. In Romans 4 and verse 3, it says of Abraham that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Abraham was not righteous of himself, but he believed and did what God commanded, and God accounted that to him as righteousness. And the same principle applies to us today through our obedience to the will of God. In 1 John 5 and verse 3, John says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." In other words, the proof of our love of God is that we do what he has commanded us to do. We cannot be justified with a faith that is not active. Notice, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 5, it wasn't that Naaman just believed that there was a God who could heal him. He had to do what this God commanded through the prophet. In James 2 and verse 26, it says, "Faith without works is dead." A faith that does not produce an action of obedience on our behalf is going to be worthless before God. Galatians 5:6, it talks about faith working through love. Our faith works, it causes us to be motivated. So the wrong price was offered. The king thought, "Well, I'll just send the king of Israel, I'll send him plenty of money, and he'll take care of this for me." And verse 6 says, "Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which says, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal his leprosy.'" Well, he went also, not only did he offer the wrong price for his cleansing, he offered also this to the wrong person. And he went to the wrong person, because he went to the king of Israel. Now, we look at that and realize the king of Israel was afraid. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that what had happened here. The man just showed up at his palace one day with all this money, and he was told by the king of Syria, "Okay, heal him of his leprosy." And the question that he asked in verse 7 says that it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends me a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." In other words, the king of Israel concluded, "Well, he's just trying to give me something I can't do, so he'll have an excuse to go to war with me." Well, that wasn't the case at all, but they didn't really listen to what was told to Naaman and Naaman's wife in the first place. They didn't listen to the little girl that said, "If he can go to the prophet Elisha, the Elisha could heal him of his leprosy." And sometimes we think we know what we should do, but we don't really listen. And that's what the case was here. They didn't really listen to what the girl said. They just assumed that he could go to the king of Israel and he'd take care of it. Well, that's not the way it works. Well, Naaman also was accustomed to doing the talking and doing the ordering, not listening and obeying. The only one that Naaman had to obey in the kingdom of Syria was the king himself. He was the commanding general of the army. He had all power over everything else. But there's people today who do the same thing. They keep going to men's ways and men's teachings and ideas other than Christ for eternal salvation. You know, some seek forgiveness or to escape or whatever you want to call it in alcohol or drugs or immorality or whatever they want to choose, but it never works. It may bring some pleasure for a little while, but it's not going to last. And some go to teachings of men, the teachings of Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed or whoever it may be. They go, well, I can get salvation of some kind there. The Bible tells us it's only in Christ. Christ is God's prophet for our cleansing, just like Elisha was God's prophet for the cleansing of Naaman. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when Jesus said that, that eliminated all of the others. There's no other. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we kind of see the other side of that. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, it says, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us. Paul was writing people who are being afflicted by persecution and all of these other things. He said, if you're being persecuted, you be faithful, you rest with us at this time. Because at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Christ comes again, the faithful are going to be blessed and taken home for eternity with him. And those who reject this blessing of God, they're going to be punished for all of eternity. Naaman had to go to the prophet Elisha for his healing. We have to go to Jesus. He is our great prophet. He is not only a great prophet, he is our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Mediator. He is all of those things for you and me. But Naaman also went to the wrong place for his cleansing. Look at verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 5. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king and said, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I think it's interesting what Elisha's response to that was. He says, don't worry about this, just send him to me, and then he'll know. Then he'll know what's important. Verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. He went to the wrong place. Now, first of all, he went to the king's palace, which was the wrong place. And then he sent him there. But notice that Naaman, the Bible says in verse 9, it says he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, Naaman was not used to being kept out of things. But he didn't want to go into Elisha's house. We don't know why. Naaman was a man of great power, great influence, commanding general of the army. Perhaps he thought maybe he was just too good to go into this house of this humble servant from another country. Whatever it may have been, we don't know exactly, but he didn't go in. So he didn't go all the way to the one that could provide him with what he needed. And so he is that close, but he was not all the way there yet. And he was not quite sure that he should go in. And many people come almost to salvation, but they want to stop before they get there. You know, like King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, and Paul preached the message to him, and he said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, almost does not make it. Almost does not get there. We have to be willing to believe and obey the things the Lord has commanded in order to receive his grace and mercy to be forgiven. Almost is not going to get there. We have to be convicted of the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior to save us from our sins. And unless we do that, we're not going to be saved eternally. we look at Judas Iscariot for a moment. He sinned against the Lord. He betrayed Christ. And instead of seeking salvation and forgiveness after he did that, instead he was convicted in his heart that he was a sinner, but he didn't seek forgiveness. He went out and hanged himself. I think of what the Apostle Peter did. He denied Jesus three times before the Romans and the authorities. And he didn't go out and hang himself, but he later came back and repented and was forgiven. And it became the great Apostle Peter we think about later. So we have to be convinced and not go to the wrong place. We have to go to Christ's will and to God's way in order to have eternal life. Naaman also wanted to use the wrong remedy for his cleansing. Go back to 2 Kings 5 and verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan River seven times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself," and he says, "he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I also not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. So he offered the wrong remedy for his salvation. Elisha, now notice Elisha didn't even go out to him. Now that infuriated Naaman because he was used to giving commands, and if he told somebody to come, they had to come because he had the authority to tell them. And so Elisha didn't even go out to him. He just sent a servant out to go wash in the Jordan River seven times and you'll be cleansed. It was a simple command. There's no way to misunderstand what he was saying for him to do, and it was easily obeyed. He had horses and chariot and everything else to take him there and his servants to guide him. But Naaman said in verse 11, he said, "Indeed, I said to myself." Another translation says, "Behold, I thought." Now that's what gets a lot of people into trouble. Sometimes we begin to think and we think that our way is better than God's way. Well, Naaman seemed to think that way. Well, what did he think? Well, he says, well, he's going to do some great thing. He's going to come out here and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place, and he's going to heal me right here. Well, that's what Naaman was looking for. He wanted something great, something flashy to show everybody what was done, and it was done to him. Well, Elisha just said, "Go dip in seven times in the Jordan River, and you'll be cleansed." Now, it doesn't make any difference what I think or what you think in the service of God. The only thing that makes a difference is what God says. And so no matter who we may hear about or what we may hear on, you know, television, radio, internet, whatever it may be, the only thing that makes a difference is what God says. And Naaman didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do what God commanded. But the world says, "I think this or I think that." For example, there are people in the world today that say, "Well, I don't think it's necessary to be baptized to be saved." Well, what does the Bible say? Well, it's the same attitude that Naaman had. If he was going to do something great, he was all for that. But some menial task like that, he didn't want to do it. He wasn't earning his salvation or his forgiveness or his cleansing because he went to the Jordan River and dipped there seven times. He was simply doing the command of God through the prophet Elisha. Now, we can't be saved until we do what we have been told by the Lord. Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and preach the gospel, the good news, to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." That's why on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the people realized they crucified the Son of God and they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's not hard to understand. It's very plain. Just like the prophet told Naaman, go down and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cleansed. We can't say, well, I think it should be that way or another way. That doesn't work before God. We have to submit to him, not the other way around. Naaman wanted to wash in other water also. He said there in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Well, they probably were in human terms. These are mountain streams. They were probably clear and cold water, and it would be much better to dip in them. Jordan River was usually muddy and dirty sometimes because of it was flowing down to below sea level and everything, and had silt and everything in it. So he probably thought, well, the water there is better than the Jordan. Well, when it was specified that the Jordan River was the place for him to go, he had to go there. Now, one time several years ago, a man asked me, he wanted to be baptized into Christ, and he said, would you baptize me in the Jordan River? And I told him, yes, I will, if you'll pay my way to go over there. But I told him, any water you find is acceptable to God because that's the command. Naaman had the wrong attitude also. Go back to verse 11. It said, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, and that's part of the problem too. He didn't say whatever God wills, says what I want. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Well, that's not what God wanted. So the Bible says he turned away and went away in a rage. He was very angry. He was furious. He was livid because the prophet didn't do what he wanted to do. His pride was hurt. He thought he was too important for some menial task like going to the Jordan River. So we can't substitute what I think or what you think for what God says, because Naaman tried it and it didn't work. I've always been interested, it's always been interesting to me to see what happened in verse 13. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then he says to you, wash and be clean. It took the servant, who was actually a slave, to come to his master there and say, if he told you to do something great, would you have done it? Well, of course he would. That's what Naaman wanted. But God does not look at things the way we do. God looks from a different perspective. God gives the command, and we just need to believe and to obey. And it wasn't until he did what God says that the end result came. So all of us can learn from the humility of the servant. He says, wouldn't you have done anything he said if it was a great thing? Well, sure he would. But he says, how much more? Just go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be cleansed. Well, Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the ultimate example of humility. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he prayed to God and said, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering, pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He went and died on the cross. He went through horrible suffering before that. And then he was nailed to the cross and was there for hours before he finally died. But we can learn from that kind of humility. Death on a cross was reserved in the Roman Empire for the worst of the worst criminals. And Jesus received that kind of crucifixion. But he was willing to do it for us. Now turn over for a moment to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul makes an application of Jesus' death on the cross to you and me. Philippians 2 verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's the mind, the attitude, the way Jesus is going to do. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. He says, have this mind, this attitude in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Take him as the example. So we go back again to Naaman. And he said, well, I thought he would come out and do some great thing and have a flashy way of doing it, and he'd heal me. And he went away in a rage because he didn't want to go dip in the Jordan River. But we look at that, and back to verse 13 of 2 Kings 5. Okay, verse 13. And his servant came near and spoke to him, said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Now, verse 14. So refers back to what the servant just said. He went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan River, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored as the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Well, it was not until he did what God, through the prophet, said, that he was cleansed. And it's not until we do what God expects that we're going to be cleansed of our sin either. Many today are dangerously afflicted with the same kind of problem that Naaman had. It's not a physical leprosy, but it's sin. It's a spiritual leprosy that we cannot be cured of for ourselves. Now, like Naaman, many will not come and obey the simple teaching of the gospel of Christ. And because of that, they reject the offer of God's grace. Christ is the person and prophet of our salvation. The cross is the place of our salvation. And the blood which he shed is the remedy for the sin that we have committed that provides that salvation. We have to reach out through faith and obedience in order to obtain eternal life. There's no other way. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But that doesn't take away our responsibility to do what God requires of us, as in the case of Naaman, also for us. Now we look at this and realize finally Naaman did what God commanded. Now we don't know much about him after that, but that had to make a great impact upon his life to realize that the God of heaven would cleanse him of his leprosy. How much more that God, the God of heaven through Christ, will cleanse us from all the sin we have committed in life and give us the promise of eternal life. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah has God directed, told the people of Israel of all the sins that they had committed, the wrong attitude and all the things they did. But at the end of that list of sin that they had committed, he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, if that was offered to the people of Israel under the law of Moses, how much more that Christ offers to us under his law today. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, you know, Naaman finally did. He took the long way around. He did it the hard way. But he finally responded to God's call. And he did what God commanded. And he received the blessing for it. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.